this episode of We're No Damn Experts, we're told that if we can walk, we can snowshoe, and so can you. So stay tuned to find out how you can easily enjoy the fun at Silvercrest Trails.
Best damn podcast, the best damn town. You want to get up, get ready to get down.
Welcome to the greatest damn town in Montana, Great Falls. I'm Maudie and I'm with Rebecca today. And we also brought in a guest. I'm going to call her the Good Idea Fairy.
Oh, yes.
If there is a project or improvement of Great Falls, she knows about it. She has her hand in it and she probably pushed the people forward to do it. So please welcome our friend, Jerry Jennings, to the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome,
and I do
Jerry.
Love ideas.
She does.
So to preface this episode, you're the expert on the topic we're going to discuss today. Maudie and I, we're no damn experts.
No, we're not. We're trying a new intro for a listener. So if it's a little different, let us know your feedback, but you won't anyway. So
you never talk to us.
So what Rebecca was saying earlier is we're triple tapping, right?
Yep. Podcast. Jerry will be a feature in our new visitor guide that's coming out. And then we're also going to be redoing our website, which also features Great Fallsians sharing their passion with us in their own words. So we're trying to figure out how to tell these amazing stories from these people we get to interact with on a daily, weekly basis and share them with our guests and get them excited about Great Falls.
So with Jerry, we could really take all the adventure things to do in Great Falls and the surrounding area. We could put it on a wheel and just spin it.
And make you answer the questions.
And that would be a pretty fun content piece. Maybe we'll do that next year in 2021. But because she can speak on everything. But we do want you to focus on Silvercrest Trails. You're involved.
I am involved.
At what level are you involved with the Silvercrest Trail system?
I'm on the board.
Okay.
And have been for a long time. But a little history about the Silvercrest Trails. We have been in Great Falls for 46 years. We came here from the East Coast bringing four young children. And of course, we heard about Showdown. And we were right up there, you know, skiing. But then we knew that there was a place called Silvercrest Trails. And at that point, they didn't have the big, beautiful parking lot. There weren't the number of people skiing, for one thing, but there weren't nearly the number of snowmobiles up there. That was just not a built-up thing at that point. But we would take our kids up there, and we just loved it. The little ones, we'd pull in what they call a poke. It's a little sled that you pull behind that doesn't have the deep runners.
Okay.
And they loved it. So fast forward to about 2010.
I'm going to make you pause. When you're pulling them with the poke...
Am I poking them? No.
Are you harnessed up like...
We are harnessed up like a reindeer
okay.
or a horse or something like
pulling
that.
Pulling
the kids. Absolutely. Pulling
awesome.
The kids. And okay. they're loving it.
And one of these kids is Peter, right?
One of these kids is Peter.
Next time I talk to Peter, the owner of Hotel Arvon, the Celtic Cowboy, Dark Horse Wine Snug. Peter, you're going to tell me about this.
Well, then when Peter got married and had kids, we were pulling his kids up.
Peter's not pulling his own kids. Mom and Dad got all the experience.
Grandma and Grandpa get to do this.
Okay, perfect.
So we're poking, and now we're fast forward.
We're poking, and now we're fast forwarding. I'm going backward. Before we arrived, there was a group called the Great Falls Cross Country Club.
Okay.
And I have to say, they did the heavy work. They got these trails groomed with grants from perhaps the trails granting of the state and so forth. There was no big parking lot at the time. They worked with the Forest Service. And sometimes in those days, I have to say, because I worked with the Forest Service with the Montana Wilderness Association, it wasn't all that easy. But, you know, when you start collaborating and doing one for the other and so forth, it tends to work. So in 2010, we were at a Great Falls Cross Country Club meeting, and the Forest Service, because they had put in this multi-million dollar parking lot up there, they wanted it to be used by other than just snowmobile big trailers. They had put the one part of the parking lot for cross-country skiing and dog sledding. So I was at a meeting along with about 20 other people, and they brought up the fact that the Forest Service wanted to use the interior of it for snowshoeing.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. The group had said no snowshoeing up there for 40 years, and it was really tough, but there were some of us who said we really would like to see snowshoeing in there because we would get many more people up there, and the whole point is to get people outside recreating in the winter. So they decided that they weren't going to groom anymore. So immediately, I mean, it wasn't a week, and a group of us got together and said, we are going to groom, we are going to have cross-country skiing, and we are going to have snowshoeing. Well, I'll tell you what, we had been cross-country skiing up there for years, and we would see snowshoes along the trail. Once we put in those trails back there for snowshoeing, we've hardly seen a snowshoe print up there.
Oh.
It's been fantastic. The snowshoers totally respect the cross-country ski trails, and we really appreciate that.
Well, I don't want to be crossing that traffic. They're going for it, right?
Oh, yeah, you bet we're going for it. And we do now have, I think it's 4 spots along the trail, very well marked, where the snowshoers cross from one place to another. There have been no problems.
Oh.
Now, we don't allow dogs.
Yeah.
And there's good reason for that. You know, dogs leave their print one way or the other, and that's not pleasant. But also, there are people who, can you imagine everyone going along with a dog leashed around their waist? Not a good idea.
Yeah.
So there are dogs that are free, and there are people who would not go up there if there were dogs running around. There are plenty of places, Jefferson Creek, O'Brien Creek, Dead Man, Ranch Creek, etc., for people to go cross-country skiing in little belts with dogs.
There you go. There's your answer.
So there's your answer.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. And also, if they want to just take the dogs in the parking lot and then, you know, back and forth and back and forth, and then leave the dog in the car while they go cross-country skiing, they can do that too. And the dogs get exercise.
And you were talking about the snowmobile parking lots. So I'm assuming Silvercrest is near this parking lot, but there's not necessarily a sign on the road that says Silvercrest.
No, it says recreational parking area, I think. And it's a good point because I went in once. I'm telling a story on myself.
Good.
Because it said 500 yards and I was talking to somebody and I saw a driveway in and I went in and totally got stuck. It was a snowmobile driveway, you know, not for their trucks, but for their snowmobiles. I was there for most of the day trying to get out. So it was not a pleasant thing. Now I'm very careful about where I go and what I'm talking about.
So we're talking about a parking lot, and I think people may not understand why we are. But if you are outside in the winter and you want to do these activities, parking on the side of the road.
Not good.
Parking at a small parking spot that gets congested and then you park on the driveway into it.
Not good.
So this is why having this multi-million dollar parking lot is a huge, huge asset to accessing the area.
It's a huge asset. There are 2 areas for snowmobile park, and you know the size trailers they bring up. They're huge.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then, I have to take pictures of trailers and license plates and take it to the Forest Service because they will park in our parking area. And it doesn't necessarily say for cross-country skiing, actually. It says no big trailers.
Okay.
And so we really try. And I think most of the snowmobilers are very good about that because they don't want it taken away from them. So the county plows the parking lot. And so for the most part, we have a well-plowed area for us to park.
Are there any other amenities by the parking lot?
I was just going to say there's a latrine up there. And Bobby Glico, who's with the Forest Service, and I always have this fun joke because I'll say, Bobby, did you leave toilet paper? And so whenever we do winter trails, he calls me and he says, I left a lot of toilet paper.
Oh, good.
So those are the amenities. And otherwise, it's very well marked, all the trails. In fact, our grandson, Peter's son, made for his Eagle Scout project, made wooden signs, routing them out with the names of all the different trails. And so those are up there.
Nice.
And it's a nice area. It really is. We have the maps, you know, that show distances and all that kind of thing. But a few years ago, Matt Marcinek, who was with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and he was president of our little group at that point, decided to name the trails. Well, I knew them as A, B, C, D, and E.
Okay.
And I still do. But we have Silverdyke, and we have Sluice Box, and we have 89er, and all these wonderful names that have to do with mining up there.
Okay.
Okay. Sluice Box, Silverdyke, 89er is actually 89 is the highway, but I think there was a mine by that name. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
But you know, when you get stuck on ABC and D and E, it's easy. So
how long are these trails and how long does it take to loop it?
It depends how fast you ski.
So
let's look at us.
Maddie and I did an episode a couple weeks ago on a winter itinerary, trying to encourage people not to hibernate because winter is a wonderful time to
recreate.
It's
a wonderful time to recreate.
Neither one of us have ever cross country skied.
Ooh, me too.
So tell me. First of all, you were moving hurdles throughout this. So one, it's a parking lot and it's well marked.
Yep.
There's a latrine there and I have labeled trails. So
perfect. What more could you ask for?
With a map. So I guess the only other hurdle that potential visitors or even residents of the area would be like, well, it's cold out.
That's right. And so you layer like an onion.
And
everyone, did you hear that?
Like an onion. The first layer is you,
okay.
Your body heat. The second layer is not cotton. Because what happens is when cotton gets wet, it gets cold and it doesn't breathe. It doesn't pull into the next layers. So you use either wool or a synthetic layer for your second layer. The third layer, wool, fleece, down, something like that. And then the fourth layer should be like a parka so that the wind doesn't
get wind resistant.
And it's not terribly windy up there, which is another real plus.
I just want to make note that we do have show notes because I want to make sure I ask Jerry all these questions. And I have embraced the cold. Layers. Outmost layer should be wind resistant.
There you go.
You already knew.
I didn't know about the cotton part.
Don't wear cotton.
Okay.
When my husband was a scout leader for our boys and kids would come in jeans, Levi's, he'd send them home to get either wool or some kind of polyester. Because if you're camping overnight and you've got Levi's on and they're wet, you're very cold.
Yeah.
And so is the Scoutmaster.
So now I'm dressed warm.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take me to finish this trail?
All depends on how fast you want to go. But there are loops. You can see all these loops on the map. Okay, there are 9 miles of trail. But if you do all the loops, it's going to add, to that mileage. So there are some that are easier. So start on the easier ones. Just look at the map and see what looks easy to you or what looks shorter to you. You finish that and you think, man, I can really do that. Yeah, do another one.
You think I'm going to get this false confidence.
I do.
Okay. You get false confidence in a lot of things you do. So.
I do.
Yeah. So you'll have
be fine.
Now, do you have cross-country skis and boots?
No, I don't, but I could rent them.
You can rent them at Bighorn.
Okay.
And I think you can rent them at Forest Service Office. You can rent snowshoes.
Okay.
But be sure you rent them before the weekend. Oh, I remember it now. It's Skier's Edge. And I'm pretty sure that they rent cross-country skis as well. And of course, they have the whole, clothing and skiing and all that.
Awesome.
Anyway, you can rent them and you can borrow snowshoes.
Okay.
Montana Wilderness Association has them also, but you'd have to go through it. Not that it's a big deal. Somebody like me who's connected with Montana Wilderness Association.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So, you'd borrow them for one day and go up and just slog around.
Now, isn't there a day or multiple days where you guys do coordinated trail outings? So if we're novices and we've never done this before, we're not up there falling on our faces with nobody else around.
Well, this year is a little different, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have cross-country ski clinics.
Okay.
Oh.
The first one is January 11th. It's a Saturday.
I don't know if that's right. It might be the 9th.
And then we're also...
January 9th. You were right on your second guess.
January 9th. January 9th, we're having a ski clinic.
Okay.
And that's for beginners. It's for intermediates. It's for experts. If at that point there's enough snow to groom for skate skiing, which is really fun. It's a lot more exercise, but it's a lot of fun.
What kind is it?
Skate skiing. You're off, you look like you're doing hockey skating, you know, foot off to the side.
Oh, and that sounds horrible. Come on.
You'd love it, Molly, because you're an adventurer, remember?
I do. I mean, I love getting up.
So it's like rollerblading in the snow.
It is. It is. Okay. It
so
is.
Multiple, like exponentially more chances for me to get sore.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I want to see people do this.
We'll have, it's a free clinic.
Okay. To watch? Because that's what...
No, you have to participate.
Okay, Rebecca's
coming. This life is about participating.
That's right.
How about we have Rebecca do it? And then I'll just have a camera behind, and I'll just have to snowshoe behind her because, you know...
Because you have to pick her up, right?
Yeah.
It's only fair since I made you be the contestant for the rock climbing.
Yes.
Well, and then we'll have a race that is the state organization does races around. And we're going to have a race, and I'm not sure the date of that yet.
Is that the one, the Nordic one?
It's a Nordic, good.
You can check our show notes for, you know, all these dates.
Okay, and that's a lot of fun. And we're hoping to get some kid races as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So those are always fun. You know, with COVID, it's hard. Yeah. It'll be harder. But we're outdoors.
Yeah.
And we can keep people separated outdoors. We always have a fire going. And we usually have, you know, some cocoa and stuff like that. Whether we can do that or not is another question.
Well, bring your own cocoa and just... Yeah, enjoy it.
Well, that's exactly what they'll have to do.
Okay.
Because COVID will pass and eventually it'll be in our rearview mirror and we'll be having these things without any asterisks next to them of this is what we're going to have to do because of this. It'll just be back to recreating and enjoying the outdoors.
Right.
So
exactly.
Is either one of those events you talked about part of National Trails Day or?
No.
Okay.
No, it is not. Winter Trails Day is a national thing. Nationally, they do it right after January 1st.
Okay.
We don't because there's not enough light at that point.
Okay.
And we found that doing it at the end of February or early March worked a lot better because there's more light and it's a little bit warmer. Maybe.
dressing in layers like an onion anyway. Yeah,
you're
it doesn't
dressing
matter.
In layers like an onion, so you're just fine. But remember, we've got a fire going.
Yeah.
And Winter Trails Day usually attracts about 300 people.
Holy.
So that will have to be modified. But what we do is we offer snowshoe and we offer cross-country skiing too. And Bighorn comes up with their truck with skis and boots and poles. You have to sign up for a time to do it.
Okay.
And so with Bighorn, you have to sign up ahead of time so that they know they've got your size for the particular outing that you're going on. It's fun. It is a lot of fun. And as I say, in the past, we've had soups and all that. We can't do that now. But it's still a lot of fun.
But people can bring their own thermostat.
They can bring their own stuff. Exactly. We have parking attendants and it's very well done.
The nice thing about this in my mind, the vision I'm creating is you have people who want to help you recreate there.
Exactly.
And if you're new to it, you're a visitor here, you can participate in an event that people want to help you enjoy.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the unique thing about that, because then it gets people engaged with Silvercrest and all the things that are there in a welcoming environment.
Right. And this started about 14 years ago.
Oh, man.
Winter Trails Day. And that was before we had it at the cross country area. So in the beginning, we had it at Showdown.
Okay.
And that worked out pretty well. It really did. There was a story about a woman in her long fur coat and her husband, and they had the kids on a sled. And all of a sudden, the sled got away from them, and the sled was going toward a creek. And she was frantic. And they turned around and went home. But it was kind of funny because they wouldn't accept any instructions. So they knew what they were doing, but they really didn't.
Aww.
But it's, you know, we just guide the hikes. A lot of people introduced to snowshoeing and cross-country skiing at Winter Trails Day. But you have to sign up for a time.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we'll see what happens with a date and time for that.
That's awesome.
But it's fun and you would love it. And the snowshoes, oh, by the way, the snowshoes are there.
Oh.
We get them from Montana Wilderness Association. We get them from the Forest Service and we get them from a development group.
Okay.
And so that works out, a conservation group.
Okay.
It works out really well.
Yeah. So when does winter season at Silvercrest open? So if I'm a visitor coming to Great Falls, when should I have Silvercrest as an option for an itinerary?
Number one, when there's snow.
Okay. So.
And number two, after hunting season.
Okay.
So after the 1st of December. Now we're up there now with a UTV and a snowmobile with a track setter behind it. It's not wonderful.
Okay.
But it's good.
Okay.
And, you know, there's not going to be any skate skiing until we get more snow and we can groom for that. But it's great.
Yeah.
And there aren't that many people up there, but there have been some families up there with a bunch of little kids.
Oh, nice.
And that's been really fun for them.
Oh.
With a poke, of course. Seriously.
So when it's not winter, is Silvercrest just open for hiking?
Yes, but it's a little bit more difficult because, you know, you're not following groomed trails.
Oh, yeah.
So you really do have to watch where you're going because there are other areas that look like you could go skiing through them and they're not trails. So we've gone up there in the summer and I thought, where am I? But I'm sure in the summer you can take a dog too.
Okay.
You know, so
okay.
That wouldn't be a problem.
There's no warming hut there?
There's a lean-to.
Okay.
And we always have, we don't have fire on a regular weekend, but for occasions we do. But there's a lean-to. But, you know, you're not far from your car.
No, the parking lot.
And there are about three lean-tos, I think, along the trail. There's one at the top of Mount Eureka. There's another one when you hit Sluice Box, I think it is. And then one at the bottom.
Okay.
So, and then there are some benches that some other Eagle Scout kids did that are on 89er and they kind of overlook an area that burned.
I want to go there this weekend.
Like, well, I think you should.
I'm just adding it.
I think you should.
Okay.
Bighorn is just right around the corner from you. You can go rent your skis.
There you go.
I'm going to tell the husband. We're doing
this. It'll be a Christmas surprise.
That's right.
Surprise. Well, you know, we're residents, but we're talking to visitors of Great Falls. And this past weekend on Sunday, a bunch of our friends went to Showdown, Montana, because they wanted to do the skiing and snowboarding. And some of us were like, well, that's not really for us. Silvercrest is right just north of Showdown.
Oh, a mile and a half.
Yeah, so I could have just, you know, said drop.
Well, we know people who one ski got downhill skis and the other one cross countries, and they just drop one off and pick one up and so forth.
Another perfect example of how you can do double itineraries in Great Falls.
Yeah. There's something for everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, all through the Little Belts, you can go snowshoeing. You know, Katie Kaczynski with her girls in Glacier. I mean, they're going all over the place with it.
And Katie has done some guest stories or blogs on our website for us about the
adventure
she has done.
She's on it all the time.
Oh,
it's great.
She's just
summer
awesome.
And
her
winter.
And Tom, they do such great work in our community sharing the adventures they have.
Right,
so
right.
You can get inspired and go do their stuff.
Well, and there's backcountry skiing.
Okay.
And now you'd love that one, Marty, because you climb up with skins on and then you take the skins off and you ski down. Look at your eyes.
I'm so glad she said you'd enjoy that.
Jerry, do you know me at all?
Rebecca, I think you'd enjoy it too.
No.
They're like regular skis.
Okay.
But they're backcountry skis. They're all-terrain skis. And that you have a lift in the binding. But then to ski down, you clamp it down. We use those skis and boots for all of our skiing, whether we're climbing or not. And so you climb up and the skins hold you so you don't fall backwards.
I'm going to call this episode 99 Ways to Die in Winter. Jerry's going to have me do it.
Remember, there's a ski patrol up there. They can take care of
up
you.
Up there.
And also remember, our guests who are coming from sea level, don't go strong right out the gate.
That's right.
You're going to need to acclimate.
That's
before
right. There
you
are two
start.
Big things. Two big things for people coming to an elevation. Three big things, actually. Drink a lot of water. Don't drink alcohol for the first couple days. Really, it tends to make you sick. And then the elevation, just take it easy with the elevation.
Yeah, it's like the rule of 24 hours beforehand, no alcohol. Just relax, drink that water, and get ready for your body to be tested.
Yeah, but remember, we're not at Telluride or something at 13,000 feet. You know, we're at 6,000 feet. So don't stay away from it because there is elevation, because it's where there's elevation that there's snow. So we have to realize that. And so there's a lot of backcountry skiing in the Little Belts where you can go. And also, you're sharing with snowmobiles. I mean, you're sharing the mountains with snowmobiles, but there are signs that say no snowmobiles and only quiet trails. You can go on any of the trails you want on skis, but I don't recommend going on the snowmobile trails because they're going fast. Yeah. That's the whole point of snowmobiling, is to be outside and to go fast.
Yeah.
So take it easy.
And what we always tell people when it comes to outdoor adventure is it is wonderful and it is amazing, but you're still outdoors and there are risks that are associated with it. You necessarily won't die. I mean, in general, you won't die, but there is things to be cautious of when you're recreating, whether it be spring, summer, fall, or winter, to be aware, to be prepared, bring your layers, make sure you're ready to be outdoors and be safe when you do it.
There are avalanches.
Yeah.
There are avalanche courses, and we're the friends at the Little Belts were looking into an avalanche course. For the most part, most people, there will be no avalanches at Silvercrest. There will be no avalanches at Showdown.
Yeah.
But there are areas near Showdown that it will slough.
Yeah.
So you really want to be careful of that. And then in the summertime, there are bears. Now, there aren't grizzly bears, although I understand there might be one.
Ooh.
Isn't that exciting?
Got our first grizzly bear.
Jerry introduces an exciting feature. I'm like,
but have your bear spray.
I went to Sluice Boxes this summer and I saw the first bears. I went there a lot this summer and I saw bears. And then I saw their scat. Is that the word?
Uh-huh.
A woman I was with, she's like, that's bear scat. They're nearby. And I'm like, sure enough. I don't know why I gave her a southern accent. But I was
she was visiting from the south.
Yeah. But yeah, there is wildlife, but you're not really going to run into bears when you're skiing, are you?
No, because they hibernate, remember?
Oh, yeah. Because you're not a bear.
You're not a bear. You're not hibernating.
Maybe
you're out enjoying.
Maybe I should read my own podcast episode titles.
Oh, that's a good one. Absolutely. No, and Sluice Boxes, I mean, that is a fun, fun area. And one of the trails at Silvercrest is called the Neihardt Flyer. And if you know about the train that went from Great Falls to Neihardt, and it took fishermen up there, but it was really a mining train. So, you know, they were bringing silver and whatever they were mining up there.
So
I imagine coal was probably brought too. But it was clean coal. Remember that?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Always clean.
But there are so many places in the Little Belts to go. It's a large area. I wish I could tell you how many acres it is. I can't. But it's a large area. And to be called the Little Belts and the other one the Big Belts, the only reason they're bigger is because they're a little bit higher. But Little Belts are larger in area.
Have more.
There's a lot of it.
So if you only have one weekend out of the entire year.
Yeah.
Where in the Little Belts do you go and what do you do and what season is it?
She's putting her on the spot.
Okay, I was going to ask you what season it was.
Nope, you get to pick the season.
No, I think winter.
Yeah?
I really do. I think winter at Silvercrest, or if you're more adventuresome or want to take dogs, there are plenty of trails for that. The backcountry skiing, there's so much.
She didn't answer the question. One thing, Jerry.
I said winter.
Okay, winter. But what activity are you going to do?
Skiing.
Skiing? Okay. Okay.
She didn't limit the type of skiing.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Well, you know something?
Well, she's smarter than me.
She has an entire weekend.
Yeah, that's true. I could take my downhill skis. I could take my backcountry skis. I could take my snowshoes. I could take my cross-country skis, my skate skis.
Do it all.
Do it all.
Darn it, Jerry.
She's here for a weekend. She's already got acclimated. She's doing it all.
There you go.
It's fun. And Showdown is a great place. It truly is.
So for our visitor guide, we want to also highlight, what is something that a visitor wouldn't know had they not talked to Jerry Jennings about the area? Not just in life, but that could be another episode.
Yeah, you're going to have to narrow it down.
Do you mean about Great Falls?
We could do, how about we do both? How about Silvercrest
and Great Falls?
Well, I would say definitely go to Silvercrest. You've got a big parking lot. You're safe. You're as safe as you can be. You know, you're within minutes of the parking lot wherever you go.
Okay.
It's a pretty secure area. We take care of trees that are across the trails, so the Forest Service certainly helps with that. And I would say to go to Silvercrest.
Okay.
Yeah, you need less expertise. If you go to Showdown, you need to take your lesson and so forth. And don't believe me, I'm not downgrading showdown. I love it. But you do, if you had one weekend and you aren't a downhill skier, I would go to Silvercrest. Take snowshoes if you want, because that is easier. We always say if you can walk, you can snowshoe.
Okay.
I suggest taking poles because there are some areas that are on an incline, but a lot of people don't. So,
okay. You know, they make it through? Okay.
Yeah, you'd make it through for sure. And it's all well mapped.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we have a map in front of us. And
they're also here at the office. So if you show up in town Monday through Friday and you want a map, you can get it at our office. But I would assume
there are maps up there.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a whole thing. And the Silvercrest Trails Association takes such good care of everything. I mean, they're really, you know, the box for the maps and a big donation board where when you donate to Silvercrest, which I suggest you do, your name goes up on a smart board.
Nice.
And of course the signs that our grandson has made and so on and so forth. I mean, if you get lost at Silvercrest, you'll get lost going down your street.
You can't find your way out of a brown paper bag.
That's right. Exactly.
So then what would be the one thing, if you didn't talk to Jerry Jennings, you wouldn't know about Great Falls?
Well, I can answer that. I knew nothing about the Neihardt Flyer Train. Oh, now I know that story.
Well, Neihardt, that area has a great history. And we went on a mining tour once, old mines, you know, obviously we're not going under the ground, with a former Forest Service woman. And it was outstanding. The history, the whole history of Neihardt and Monarch is really exciting. You know, they used to be pretty thriving towns. Yeah. Obviously, there was a school in Neihardt, which is now the senior center. We had a lunch.
They
gave the verbal explanation, you know, of a lot of the history. And then we went to see the mines. And it was very exciting and really interesting. So I would love to see that happen again. It hasn't happened for a while, but you just need somebody like Beth who is willing to do it.
We have such impressive mining history here in Great Falls and in the area.
Stockett and so forth, Belt.
Yeah. And I always, you know, let people know Butte isn't the only place in the state that has some great mining history. Yeah. And not only do we have the great mining history, but we have then the hydroelectric dam history that connects to everything else in the state of Montana. And that's really why Great Falls becomes the center of the universe, in my opinion. But,
right.
Yeah,
right.
That's just my opinion.
Yep. Well, I think the three of us probably agree.
So it's been awesome visiting with you, as always, Jerry.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for inviting me, because you know I love to talk about it.
So, Jerry, I'm going to close our office door to you for probably a month, because we're still working on the other projects you gave us.
I still have more ideas, buddy.
I know you do. So thank you, Jerry, for joining us on We're No Damn Experts, and we hope that everyone has a great holiday season.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're No Damn Experts is the recorded claims from Great Falls, Montana, covering what you need to know about this amazing damn town. Damn, that felt good.
On the next episode of We're No Damn Experts, Rebecca and Lottie visit with an expert from the C.M. Russell Museum, and they bring on a surprise guest themselves. We hope you tune in next week to find out who it is. We're No Damn Experts was produced by Great Falls Montana Tourism with original music by the Best Damn Musician, Joel Korda.